When the notebook in your back pocket is so saturated with sweat and chlorine that the waterproof qualities of your gel pen ink finally take on some significance. When the sun won't seem to go down and it's all too happy to come up. When the dog days of summer leave just enough pauses between bouts of sunstroke. To scribble down a few notes, it must be time to take note. This is episode 19 of our podcast. I am Ted. And this is Adam.
Hi, Ted.
And this is our podcast in which we take a little extra time to take a look at the notebooks that we keep in our back pockets as much as possible and stop to take note of those little moments throughout our day that make us smile, make us cringe, make us wonder why we ever decided to have children, all those little bits and pieces. And Bob's, how you doing, Adam?
I'm doing all right, Ted. What do you got this week?
Let's see. Here in my tattered, sweat-stained craft notebook from Field Notes, I have a note that says, I watched the first 40 minutes of Kong Skull Island, which, as longtime listeners know, is something of a talisman for this podcast. It was around about the time we started that I watched that film and was in absolute astonishment at what a fine piece of cinema it was against all odds. And when Adam visited Houston, it was fresh on my mind. And somehow the launch of this podcast and the viewing of that movie were indelibly linked. And when I watched this first 40 minutes, just kind of on a whim the other night, all of my feelings about Kong Skull Island were absolutely reinforced, and I took some notes. Great title artwork. Samuel L. Jackson is just an absolute revelation, with offerings such as, quote, as usual, hold on to your butts, and as they were flying towards the giant gorilla for the first time.
Giant gorilla? Spoiler alert, Ted.
Sorry, they were flying towards the island for the first time before they knew about the giant gorilla.
Who's to say if there's a giant gorilla?
Samuel L. Jackson launched into a soliloquy of the I love the smell of napalm in the morning variety, in which he said, roughly quoting, have you heard the story of Icarus when he flew too close to the sun and his wings melted off? Well, that ain't gonna happen to us, because we got some wings of white-hot, homegrown Pennsylvania steel, and they're guaranteed not to melt.
That's the best Sam Jackson impression I've ever heard.
I mean, what? Not since Snakes on a Plane, I think, has Samuel L. Jackson just understood that he is the only reason to be watching that movie at that point in time and fully delivered on that expectation. What do you got, Adam?
Ted, I wrote this down. Dog versus dad robot. This is a potential children's story about a dad who replaces himself with a robot. I'm not sure what the dad goes off and does. Maybe just, I don't know, sleeps in the basement or watches a movie
takes a nap. Yes. That's what I was at. You'll notice I watched 40 minutes of Kong Skull.
That's right. Lulled you right to sleep. And then the dog is the only one in the family that knows that the dad is a robot. This was, I was working with Logan, my son, on this. And by working with it on it, I was just saying, hey, is this funny? And he was saying, sure, Dad. but that's what I've got. All I've got is a title, because I really think it's a great title. Dog vs. Dad Robot. Might be Dog vs. Robot Dad. I don't know. I'm going to workshop it.
So, Dog vs. Dad Robot.
Yeah.
There's some...
The dog's barking at the robot.
So there's some real antagonism there. Now, are you setting it up for what starts as an antagonistic relationship and evolves into more of a partnership?
No, I think we end with a picture of Dad Robot sitting next to human wife, human children, and a real cat. And the gag is that the cat, just like the other family members, the cat doesn't notice that the dad's a robot either. And the dog's just really frustrated about it.
I love it.
Thanks.
I feel like there's, I don't know if I could cite any examples at the moment, but the sort of long literary history, I guess maybe is that the Cassandra complex, in which one character knows the truth and is just struggling to reveal that truth or convince the other characters of that, of the truth of that, that the dad is an android and the real dad is in fact taking a nap on the couch in the basement.
Ted, well, I've got you. What is the literary convention for when the character reveals himself to have received a Middlebury English degree?
I believe that's Goldfish versus pseudo-intellectual dad a-hole.
No, I'm not calling you an a-hole. You're calling yourself an a-hole. What do you got, Ted?
So speaking of Goldfish, that was a definitely deployed bit of a tease. Because in fact, my wife pretty stealthily adopted a Goldfish.
No.
And brought it home. She gave me maybe 24 hours warning.
You know, and some say there's no excitement in marriage, but...
The Goldfish's name is Winston.
Mm-hmm.
And she is obsessed with the Goldfish.
I don't like any of this.
She, in the morning, she'll sort of walk up to the tank, put her chin on her,
the
on
goldfish,
her hand.
And, the Goldfish puts and, her chin on your wife's hand?
No, Adam, Goldfish, well, first of all, it's in the tank, so it can't put its chin on anybody's hand.
You train it.
It doesn't have a hand of its own. It's got fins. They do, let's admit, flicker back and forth in a somewhat cute and appealing way. But my
wife
got
Stockholm syndrome, man.
She'll gaze at it and just talk about how cute he is and how the goldfish has just exceeded her expectations of what she thought it would be like to have a goldfish. She said at a later point, I'm reading this now, "He just fills some need I didn't know I had." And when I recounted this to my friend Alok, he said, "I think she's trying to tell you something."
Yeah, I think so too.
What I've decided...
Wait, did she recently see that,
The Shape of Water.
Yes,
we did just watch The Shape of Water.
All right.
Oh, man. I did see, she was boiling a bunch of eggs the other night, too. Son of a... so we had a birthday party for, a six-year-old birthday party for my daughter, and at the end of it, as we were cleaning up, Caroline said, "I think Winston had a good time at the party."
That's adorable. I like that one.
I know. How can you, what's not to love about that? What else you got, Adam?
All right, so this one's either going to reveal my genius as a father or my miserliness.
Wait, you mean beyond robot dad versus...
Well, that's my literary genius. This is my parental genius. Or, like I said, my miserliness. I don't know how you guys handle feeding your children, but...
Every day.
Yeah. Oh, wait. How often?
Just regularly.
Okay.
Every day. And you know, if we miss a day, the next day you feed them double.
So we were we were having steak for dinner, and our kids tend to...
Ooh la la.
Yeah, this is a rare occurrence. Our kids tend to not... They tend to be picky eaters. We tend to make them eat whatever we're cooking, except when my cheapness gets involved. And so I think it was my idea. Maybe it's my wife's fault, too. We were not buying steak for the boys. We bought two steaks, and I don't remember what they got. The note I've got here, Logan on ribeye. So we had ribeye steaks, and he seemed interested. So, you know, not me, because I'm cheap, but my wife started sharing her steak with him. And he said, "Not the best meat, but I admit, it's very good." It's got interesting taste. He also has requested that we go to the Publican, which is like a fancy porky restaurant for his birthday, for breakfast. Because we went there for Father's Day brunch. He's turning into a kid with interesting, expensive taste, which really doesn't mesh with my parenting style.
Yeah, you've got the dad's over, robot dad over in the corner going, ooh, 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 you get the finger in the collar. Is it getting hot in here?
What do you got?
Last week, I found myself at the grocery store. As you well know, I like to go grocery shopping after everyone has gone to bed, by which I mean the children, which usually I enjoy. Last week, I found myself there, I think, four times getting ready for these various birthday parties.
And wow.
Social occasion. It was like a small trip every night, but I just kept having to go back and kept having to go back. And about the third time, I was just utterly exhausted. And I found myself sort of, I had gone through the effort to get there, gotten a couple of items that were not going to melt. And I just found myself, I just kind of stopped in an aisle and just stared at the shelves and looked at everything on the shelf. And it was actually kind of a novel. I mean, you know, our podcast is called Take Note. And I found myself sort of inadvertently taking note of, like, everything that was on the grocery store shelf instead of just aiming, you know, zeroing in on the exact kind of peanut butter that I wanted to get. And things just sort of started emerging.
Excuse me?
Well, you know, like, things I would never notice, like the herring in pepper, you know, herring in pepper sauce and chia seeds, like a big bucket of chia seeds sitting there. I saw peanut butter powder, and then you see peanut butter powder, and you're invariably going to pick it up off the shelf and see what the story with peanut butter powder is.
Can I tell you the story with peanut butter powder? Mm-hmm. You buy it once, you try it once, it sits in your cabinet forever.
You got some peanut butter?
I think I've got. In your cabinet? I think I've got chocolate peanut butter powder in my cabinet. No one will eat it.
Well, it sounds appealing, but then you read how you prepare it, and it sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
Very quickly. It's like mixed with water, and then you've got peanut butter.
Right.
I saw some dried strawberry banana chips.
Hmm.
I saw some Italian candy called Snob.
Snob?
And I found, actually, the food coloring. I had been looking for months for the food coloring in the grocery store. Because the kids like to drip some food coloring in the bathtub, make it a little more appealing and fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I could never find the food coloring. And then I finally, in one of these reveries, where I was not at all looking for food coloring, my eyes just were dancing along the various spices in the baking section, and they alighted upon the dadgum food coloring. Serendipity. So it just goes to show, take a little bit of time, slow it down, mix yourself a nice, big, delicious batch of peanut butter powder, and take note. You got anything else?
Maybe we could talk about the new Field Notes edition that was just announced.
Let's do it.
The folks at Field Notes announced the Three Missions edition, each one named after a NASA mission that I will not remember the name of, I don't think.
There was the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
I'm pretty sure that's the fall edition, buddy. I think that's coming up. I think you just ruined it for them.
Yeah, I just blew their cover.
They're going to have to start over. So this edition, in addition to having in addition to have the three notebooks that you get, these have photo covers, which are, I don't know, not really unique for Field Notes anymore, but they don't do them very often. They did them last summer for the campfire. They also have pop-out shuttle capsule models that you can build yourself, which, you know, look pretty cool. Like, I'll definitely do that with the kid. No doubt about it. And the video for it is pretty awesome, I think. The video is the capsule being assembled, and then flown into space with a, I don't know, a weather balloon or something? What would you call that balloon?
Yeah. I think that's a weather balloon. Something like that.
I go to you balloon. With all my balloon questions.
Cool video. I was prepared to be a little cynical for some reason about the video, but it was really cool.
Yeah. You know, I've got to say, I don't love the photo covers that they generally do. I want to see these. I think when they've done photo covers before with America the Beautiful, they did, and with Campfire, was it called Campfire last year? They both do kind of interesting, they highlighted interesting printing processes that they used, coloring processes, to make it more than a photo cover. So I'd be, yeah. They did not make a point of highlighting that, I don't think, when they're marketing for this edition. I'd be interested to see it. You know, I'm sure it's great. It's just not, the photo cover is something that I tend to be less interested in. I'm not space obsessed, so I didn't get super excited by that, but they look cool. I'm excited to have them in my hands. And, yeah.
Well, I think, to me, I like the photo covers. I'm not, they don't seem as, I don't know, as challenging to the form of the notebook, which I think they've set it up so that the limited editions are tend to challenge the form. Now, that said, I really like them. Like, I like pretty much every photo edition cover they do. I guess what I feel like is, once you go down the road of photos, you could do any photos of anything, and it would be pretty cool. Like those, the Nixon surfing edition photo covers that they did,
yeah,
were really cool. You know, the Field Museum, there's a photo edition, is that right?
Yep, you're right.
Also very cool. Like, I think it's really cool and fun to have cool photos on notebooks. I think it, you know, and it, to be fair to them, the last edition was a really cool form factor. Like, covers were a really great printing process, so who, you know, I don't think anybody says they have to like blow the roof off with every single edition, but I think they've done enough photographic covers at this point that it feels sort of like a gimme putt for them.
Even that's okay
right.
Yeah, it, for whatever now, reason the edition came out and I thought, look, this is interesting, there's nothing about this edition that is really something that I don't know that really excites me. Like the theme, I'm not really a space guy. I mean, yeah. The photo covers, whatever, but they still look cool. I still want to see them. And, you know, they're notebooks. Like the fact that they're notebooks excites me. I will say one of the things that I noticed that I think was kind of easy to miss is on the page, on the Field Notes webpage, with all the details about this edition, there are a number of pieces of text that you can click on that show pictures that they didn't highlight in the email or in the even on the webpage. Like, the photos aren't embedded in the webpage. And I kind of feel like those haven't made the rounds among the dorks that well. Like, a lot of people have said they want to see what the pictures of the insides look like, and there is a picture if you click on the word graph paper.
Does look pretty sharp now that I'm...
I had a question for you about the sticker.
Yeah.
I am not a decal on the laptop sort of guy, but this decal looks really cool, and I'm thinking about putting it on the new laptop. What do you think?
The Let's Go Back to the Moon sticker.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very sharp. It's clearly... it's got the rounded corners that suggest it would look very nice on a Macintosh computer.
Yep. I think there's... in my family, we have also purchased NASA American flag shirts for the kids because we recognize them as the type of patriotism that we are currently comfortable with. And there's something about the sticker that I think that sort of says the same thing.
I'm with you. Science still exists.
That's right.
Yay.
Science plus America is something I can do.
America. Science required for me to buy into this bizarre experiment.
At the moment, please involve a scientist in your flag.
So, my family perspective on space, and I'm about to sell myself on this edition pretty hard, and I hadn't even put that much thought into it yet. It did release the day we're recording this, which is February 6th, the year 2038. So, hello from the future. we went to the Space Center, Houston, recently, actually. Living here in Houston, we're a 45 or so minute drive down to Clear Lake, which was, as far as I can tell, just a big old patch of flat where they could plop down a space center in between here and the Texas Gulf Coast. One interesting factoid, I work for Rice University. Rice University was the original owner of the land upon which Space Center Houston now resides. So, my now six-year-old took her first trip there. She had a ball. I spent most of my time chasing our three-and-a-half-year-old around the place.
I thought you were going to say, I spent most of my time eating astronaut ice cream.
We didn't even... To show you what it's like to take a three-and-a-half-year-old to a place like that, we didn't even make it into the gift shop to even get anywhere near the astronaut ice cream. We were ready to, let's say, jettison ourselves out of the atmosphere of that place. Now, I think what we can say is that the Field Notes folks have a pretty deep and abiding passion for
astronaut ice cream.
Astronaut ice cream. It's all just an excuse for them to purchase astronaut ice cream by the case. I mean, they've done the Lunacy moon-related edition. They've done the Starry Night.
Yep.
Night Sky edition. And it's a wonderful place to direct one's attention. And I think it's a bottomless source of inspiration. So I think it's great. Someone, I think, on the Field Notes Facebook page said something along the lines of, are we witnessing the construction of a cinematic universe? Which I thought was kind of a funny way to look at it.
Because of the moon and the night sky and...
I mean, my takeaway from that statement was, are we just seeing them kind of build out the various components on this theme to the point that, you know, it will feel some sort of cohesive treatment of the theme over the course of some years, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Cool idea. Absolutely.
Fair enough. Anyway, that's the new Field Notes edition. Good stuff. Fun times.
I would like to make a confession to you.
I'm ready.
All right. As I mentioned during our last episode, which another confession to our listeners, which I have not yet edited, when my life is busy...
You know what, though? Francis Ford Coppola had not finished editing Godfather Part 1 when he was making Godfather Part 2.
Is that true?
I have no idea. Oh. I think I know anything at all about the directing or editing process. I thought you knew me better than
that. That was a fantastic factoid, and I believe that the word factoid actually means something that's not a fact.
Then it could not have been more of a factoid.
I'm looking up factoid. A brief or trivial item or news or information, an assumption or speculation that is reported and repeated so often, it becomes accepted as fact.
Which reminds me, Francis Ford Coppola had not finished editing Godfather Part 1 when he started making Godfather Part 2. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing, and we should repeat that as often as we can. We could also say it's true about Kong Skull Island and the sequel, Kong Skull Island 2.
Kong versus Robot Dad is the sequel to.
No, I own the IP on that, man. No way. Okay. So my confession to you is I have not been writing in my notebook very much. Certainly not very much that's useful for the podcast. And I thought we could briefly talk about the irony, the fact that when I am at my busiest and when I probably need the notebook the most, I use it the least. Is this something that you find to be true?
Well, I have my thought, but since you've introduced it, I want to kick it back to you to just reflect a little bit, open up before I inject my sort of ill-considered angle. So I'm gonna throw it back to you and say, what is that experience of being so busy that you can't use your notebook?
Okay, well, I've just started a new business. I think we alluded to it briefly in the last episode, which, like Kong Skull Island 2, has mysteriously never seen the light of day. I've just started a new business. There's a lot of finding clients, trying to work with our new clients, and trying to figure out how and what we're going to pay ourselves. And so there's a lot of information that I could be writing down, but I feel like I'm just too busy to write it down. And then being too busy to write it down or use the notebook at all, and being too busy to, what I like to use the notebook for really is to like notice the world around me, notice the herring and pepper, notice the cheese seeds, notice the peanut butter or powder, that sort of thing. To be too busy to notice that. Today, for example, there was a man in a coffee shop falling asleep with a hat that said veteran covering his face, and someone entered the coffee shop, bought a coffee, walked out, and left a note on this man's lap. And the fact that I did not write that down, very bothersome to me, but I did manage to remember it. Anyways, so when I'm not writing these things down, I then get to the point where I don't even bother putting the notebook in my pocket, which is pretty much unheard of for me. I feel, you know, I kind of feel naked without it, and the fact that there's so much going on in my life that that is not at all important to me is a strange experience for me.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it's a bit of a canary in the coal mine, where you can say to yourself, my rejection of this notebook, which is obviously something you've noted because you're noting it right now, is an indicator of where you're at. And I think, you know, you're at a particularly stressful point in your life, which is far from typical. And so it's okay. If as long as you say your 10 Hail Marys and your 10 Thou Art the Father, the Icarus, Lord of the Dance.
I'm going to need you to write those down for me if I'm going to have to repeat them.
You know, put it back in your pocket. I think it's your chance to say, all right, let me take a few minutes out. One of my favorite, from my period of Zen Buddhist scholarship of a couple years ago, one of the favorite things I read was some Zen master said, if you don't have time to meditate for 30 minutes a day, meditate for 1 hour a day. And that's, I could almost think of this in terms of, you know, if you don't have time to take notes, put the notebook in your pocket and take some more notes.
That seems very wise.
Thank you.
Do you ever have these fallow periods, if that is what fallow period means?
Is fallow maybe good or is it bad?
Fallow is when cultivated land is allowed to lie idle during the growing season, which I know off the top of my head and did not read from Merriam-Webster, Merriam-Webster.com.
You know, everything goes in phases. So there will be times when I effectively use a to-do list in my personal life and feel really good about it, and I'm capturing the things I need to do. But then there's times when I totally fall off and sort of poorly take a to-do list or even if I'm using the notebook, I won't reference the to-do list. I just, you know, want to give myself a break from that, and that's not really a good way to do it. I think a consistent use of that. But that is a little different than what you're talking about. You're talking more, you know, about truly feeling a little too overwhelmed to take that extra step. And, you know, I think in a way that's what our podcast is all about, is taking that extra step. And, there's times when I falter, and I, you know, honestly, doing this podcast is actually the best motivator to do something that enriches my own life. Like putting these things down to be accountable to you and to the podcast makes me accountable to, you know, for my own attention and my own breaking away for a minute. And, you know, on the same theme, what I find a challenge, especially, you know, having a family, is literally stopping in the middle or near whatever activity is so appealing or charming or pleasant or interesting or silly, and actually writing it down without either the children around me going ballistic or my life partner demanding that I do something more productive. There's that weird period where you're actually taking the notes that can be a bit of a challenge, which again is, I think, is different than what you're talking about. What is it that feels like you don't want to take that note, even though
I do want to take it just constantly. I just don't think about it. I have a solution though for that. You know, the family issue where you don't want to stop spending time with the family to write the note down.
Ready.
Robot dad.
Hey, let's do this again next week, Adam. What do you say? Quickly want to say hello, Eliza.
Hello, Eliza.
Check out our website. It's at takenote.space. We got some blog content over there. You can sign up for Adam's sporadic newsletter of notebook prompts. You can find us on Twitter at TakeNotePod. Thanks for listening. Check back in next time.